Wilfred Robinson has been teaching high school English at Parwin High for 28 years. He's won 8 Teacher of the Year awards and 5 Keys to the City. But the odd thing about Mr. Robinson is he's never once covered a single piece of English literature.
I believe that literature is what we live, not what we write. Our lives are our own books. And what better way to get to the truth of the written word than to bring your word to life?
This is one of Robinson's students, Ricky. Now, Ricky, you told me that Mr. Robinson spends most of class talking about things around his house, what he's been doing with his dogs.
Yeah, I mean, like, to be honest, I just think he's kind of a lazy teacher. I mean, I go to class expecting to learn, and I'm not learning anything, really.
One of the important lessons that we can learn in school is what life is like. And life is filled with...
Capri Suns, like your fridge.
It's filled with Capri Suns.
I've heard about that.
Oh yeah, it's delightful. Yeah. What a delightful drink. I wish, you know.
Yeah, you gotta pop the straw.
You gotta pop the straw.
I sometimes do it from the bottom.
Oh, what a rebel you are! Wow.
Like, we had the ACTs coming up, and I needed some test prep, but he just kept going on and on about how he wraps some of his leftovers in plastic wrap, but then puts others...
In tub.
Yeah.
No, I do the same thing. I found that fascinating. Yeah, because, you know, certain items work better on a plate with plastic wrap, but some, you know, you're going to get some... Like, if you did a shepherd's pie, some of the potatoes are going to get caught on the plastic wrap.
I spent an entire class sharing my recipe for shepherd's pie and talking about ways to make alternative ingredients.
What kind of a turn?
Mint.
Mint?
Yeah, you wouldn't think.
In the meat?
In the meat, yeah.
Oh my
it's
gosh.
Like a minty surprise.
Well, that sounds delightful. And
well,
frankly, I feel like I know more about Robert Frost right now.
Well, you know, you took the road less taken by putting
now,
mint.
What is that?
That's a line from Robert Frost.
Oh, I don't care about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's not what you need to know. To live your life. That's not what gets you 8 Teacher of the Year awards and 5 Keys to the City.
Very impressive.
Yeah,
very
you.
Impressive.
Not to, you know, I don't want to. We actually spend usually a week talking about each of my 5 Keys to the City.
Oh.
Like, yeah. I'm not getting into college, okay? And it's his fault.
Huh. Well, don't you think that you could take some initiative and maybe, you know, read some books on your own?
I mean, one of the great lessons of life is you've got to pull yourself up. You write your own story.
Agreed.
Yeah. Yes. Too many people want to have the story told to them.
It's lazy, is what it is.
It is lazy.
Here's Parwin High's principal, Marley Martson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Mr. Robinson is just the sweetest man, and we're so happy to have him. Be a part of our school, and thank God for him, you know?
Yeah, I think he's really inspiring a whole generation of
Absolutely.
Children.
Absolutely. You know, I believe that he's even helping out on the janitorial side, too.
Is that real?
I find that if a dirty bathroom usually means a dirty life.
True.
Look, everyone knows that Mr. Robinson and the principal have been banging for years.
Ricky!
Whoa,
how did you find out about our banging?
Actually, I know how he found out. Mr. Robinson talks about it openly in his class.
Usually, yeah.
Frequently.
I believe that sexuality is an important part of life. We don't want to coddle these children, and so I share what I can.
Yeah, you have a whole lesson plan on it. A whole 2-week long.
Yeah, we kind
syllabus.
Of get in. We you know, it depends. It's loose because some, you know, it depends what I want to talk about. Maybe something exciting happened the night before. Who knows, you know? Maybe that's something we want to talk. Maybe they want to share something. Maybe they have a story to tell.
Now, Principal Manson, hearing about this for the first time, how do you feel about...
Well, as long as I'm held in a high regard and talked about in a nice way, I suppose it's okay, I guess. If the children are learning something from my deviant behavior.
Ricky, what are some things that you learned about Principal Manson?
That apparently she loves lingerie from Victoria's Secret.
I take off my pantyhose, and then underneath I have panties on from the section, the cotton section of Victoria's
Secret. I learned
this
from Mr. Robinson. He spent an entire week lecturing on this us on this.
And now I feel like I don't need to read The Great Gatsby.
Oh, no. Why would you want to read that? All those people are dead.
Unimportant.
Yeah. You know what is important? Learning how to pair what wine with what sexual activity.
Oh, like I would love an example.
Chardonnay and cunnilingus.
Oh, that's my favorite one.
It doesn't burn?
No. This is where I draw the line.
Okay. This is American Lie. I'm Ari Grass. Each week we pick a theme and bring you a variety of stories on that theme. This week's theme, unnecessary details. We're going to bring you a series of stories about unnecessary details in four acts. Act one, the devil is in the details. Sunnyworth Prison is home to white-collar criminals serving out long-term sentences. And when author Rodney Tunney Boots was sent there to serve an 8-month sentence for tax fraud, he learned that there were a lot of little details he'd need to acquaint himself with. Rodney Tunney Boots tells that story.
I'm not the kind of guy you look at and think, oh, criminal. I'm, went to good schools. I came from a respectable family. While I didn't have children, I was friendly to the ones in the neighborhood. And on Halloween, I gave out excellent candy. But turns out that when you conspire with a foreign government to share classified information, that is a crime. Fortunately, there's a prison that is geared towards my particular case. But there's still a lot to learn. Anyone who thinks white-collar incarceration is a picnic, well, remember, a picnic has a lot of ants.
All my fingernails have been pulled out by my cellmate.
That's Loretta Castro. The prison I was confined
Sucks.
To was is a co-ed prison because, you know, we're egalitarian. We believe men and women are equally capable of committing annoying nonviolent crimes. And Loretta, you would learn one of the rules pretty quickly about the your fingernails that led to that event, did it not?
I was just scratching my back. I wasn't even scratching my buttocks, and my cellmate pulled out my fingernails while I was sleeping. She shaved my eyebrows. Oh, she did so many horrible things.
Loretta was in for tax evasion. Ironically, she owned a small chain of beauty salons. Maybe that was the irony of the punishment, no?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I had confided in my cellmate for a while, and I didn't think she was going to go over the top like that.
Did I have to face something as brutal as eyebrow shaving? No. But I did have to learn a whole host of rules that just baffled me at first. Where to stand, where to sit, going to bed at 11 o'clock at night, exercising in a courtyard. I was mystified. One night I made a panicked call to my lawyer, Gretchen Peterson. Gretchen, you remember that call? I believe tears were shed, and not by you.
Yeah, I remember that call vividly.
I had just been told that...
You were beside yourself. Beside yourself.
I was told I could not read the Wall Street Journal. The day it came out, I had to wait until the next day, and I just didn't know what to do.
Yeah, the Biscoffs were stale. I mean, you were just losing it. You wore white socks. White socks inside.
It is painful. It is physically painful for me now to recall that. Tears are coming again. I was lucky to have a strong advocate in Gretchen.
Of course, Rodney, of course.
You know.
Anytime. That's what retainers are for.
Yes. Fortunately, you know, I had written a very popular best-selling book in the young adult series, you probably know The Misadventure of Tiffany Tootles. It was a... Well, ask your children if you're not familiar with it. Anyway, so I was able to afford Gretchen's services. But one thing I was not able to buy with book royalties was the friendship of my cellmate.
Look, if you want something from me, you just need to come out and say it.
Those were the first words that Jack O'Halloran said to me when I walked in there. Jack's been kind enough to, actually the first time we've seen each other since we were released.
Yeah.
You know, I suppose I should find out what you've been up to. Jack's crime was, he was, and still is, a tax accountant.
Yes. That's right.
Well, let's just say that some of his clients were in the waste management business, and leave it at that.
Yeah, they dumped some records and...
dumped some bodies.
Let's not talk about that on the air.
Yeah. Jack, it was awkward between us that first time in the cell. Let's be honest, right?
I'm completely comfortable all the time with everything.
Even when he's...
If you want something, you just got to come on and say it.
I just felt it. I mean, it wasn't like college, you know, where you're thrown in.
Ryan,
there.
What do you want from me?
What do I want? I just want...
Do you
want
to get out of here? Is that what you want?
Well, I am. I mean, I'm done. I mean, we've served our sentences.
No, I mean, do you want to get out of here?
Out of here? Out of...
You can go anywhere you want. You just tell me. I'll make it happen.
Rodney Tunney Boots can go anywhere he wants. Even with a questionable past? Even with a...
You can make that questionable past dumped where all the waste goes, buried with all the plastics and all the...
I conspired with a foreign government. You can make that go away.
Oh, yeah, I can make it go away.
Why did this never come up in all the time we shared a cell, Jack?
Because he never asked me.
I never asked him. I never asked people a lot of things.
All right, so here's where we bag the candy, and that's pretty much the whole process. So I think you're ready, man.
Ready to
start working.
Wow.
You said this was your dream, right?
Yes, to be a candy man. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as glamorous as you might think. As you can see, you know, it's just
Excuse me, can I have some licorice?
Yeah, sure, little girl. Have you read any young adult fiction?
Oh, no. I don't read
There's a book called The Misadventures of Tamara Tootles. You might enjoy it.
No. No, I read... books like Lolita.
Listen, you just gotta bag the candy and give it to the girls. And the boys. And if adults want it, give it to them as well.
And there's nothing more to it.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
Would you be shocked if I told you I conspired with the foreign government against the United States?
Oh, boy. I gotta be honest, nothing much shocks me anymore. I've had some weirdos come by here.
I guess the candy...
Like a lot... I mean, you know what kind of weirdos would be interested in this job.
Oh.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Can I just have that licorice?
Sure. There you go. Yeah.
I'm a pretty bad judge of character, it seems.
No, I'm a good person. I just was foolish. I was panicked. I was too big for my britches.
All right. Please do not mention britches. You know what? I'm actually going to have to mark that down as a strike.
A strike?
Yeah. We do 4 strikes here because I am desperate.
Jack.
What do you want?
My dream is not what I thought it would be.
You don't know what your dream is?
Well, no, I knew what my dream was. I thought it was a simple job where I could interact with people and...
Well, then you pick a new dream.
Jack, you're so wise.
All right, so basically you just gotta walk down the aisles with the slushies, and if someone says, hey, slushy man, you go, you give them a slushie.
This is very much the similar job, I think. It's really...
What are you talking about, man?
I just had a job selling candy. This is also selling sweetened drinks. There's only a difference in the form, not in the substance.
Well, listen, dude, we got a bunch of thirsty people out here. It's a big game, so you're gonna have to go out there.
Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Looking for a strawberry slushy. Excuse me, sir.
Here
you go. It's
we all need drinks.
Oh my God! It's so much pressure. So much pressure.
LeBron.
Looking for something ice cold, please, sir. Over here.
Pass it down.
Wait.
I believe I was first.
Pass it down.
For the love of God, man! You're terrible at this.
Jack.
Didn't work out for you.
Jack, I think I've lost my ability to function in the world. I think my dalliance with the prison subculture has made me unable to function in society. I haven't written a book since I was released.
You know what's a great place to read a book where you don't get bothered?
Prison?
That's right.
I need to commit a new crime.
Could be anything you want.
Well, something white collar. I mean, I'm not...
No, don't hurt anybody.
No. No.
Unless you want to. Just ask me.
I
Who do you want to hurt?
I want to hurt you.
What?
I want to hurt you.
Hey, you're getting awful close and your voice sounds different.
I want to hurt you.
Rodney Tunny Boots, you're back? You're back at Sunnyworth? Look, my fingernails grow out.
I guess,
check it out, man.
I guess some things are temporary and some things that prison does to you are permanent. This is probably going to be my last report for a while for this American Lie. I'm going to be out of commission. Don't look for any new Tamara Tootle's books either. Maybe, who knows? I can probably find a pen or write with my own blood or something like that. That might be a little darker than you're used to. So, I'll be away for a few years.
I went to prison for 25 years for killing a boat. I didn't even know you could do that. Up next on This American Lie, give me them deets. That's when you're trying on This American Lie. Whenever I'm going to do, please stay with us.
This American Lie is brought to you by Improv Jams. We have rules here. Follow them. Follow them.
This American Lie, I'm Ari Grass. Each week, we pick a theme, bring you variety stories on that theme. This week's theme, Unnecessary Details, Act 2. Give me them deets. Dating is challenging. You learn a lot of things about a lot of people that you may never find a connection with. But a new dating app called Deets gives out every tiny detail about its users before you even swipe yes, in order to get all that out of the way. Humorist and dating expert Alessandra Palmer Pompei spent a few months following a group of young New Yorkers who were using the app.
Oh, wow, that's really interesting. So you can just hear everything that this person has written about. You can see how much they've grown in the past 5 years. You can, before even taking them out for a drink, you can find out their soul, their energy within them.
Yeah, it's great. And I mean, I'll be honest, it took a long time to answer all the questions and really, you know, commit myself and everything about me to the app. But
yeah,
like, it was almost like a part-time job in a way. I spent like 6 months really diving into this thing. But let me tell you,
My dates have been amazing.
This is Joe Johnson, and he is wearing just the most lovely leather vest I have ever seen. We had a few drinks at a cocktail bar on the Upper West Side, and I wanted to know a little bit more. So, Joe, what was it? What was the most invasive question that you had to answer, and like, how did you answer it?
Oh, that's a thing. I didn't really have to answer any invasive questions because, like, it's all there. Like, I'm an open book in this app.
Yeah.
So it was, like, the most pleasant experience ever.
Great. That's fantastic. And you've been on many dates now?
Yeah, like a dozen.
Yeah. That sounds interesting. Any women sticking around or men? I don't want to assume.
I really hit it off with this girl named Jessica. We've gone on about 3 dates now.
And what was it about Jessica that really solidified your interest in her? Was there anything about her past that was brought up on her profile?
I mean, no skeletons in the closet, really. I mean, I just saw everything. I mean, to be honest, she's kind of boring. They're all kind of boring. I'm kind of boring.
I had lunch with Jessica Alden the next day. Wanted to get her thoughts on this comment about her being boring. What do you think, Jessica? Boring.
I mean, I think I'm still pretty exciting. I've read all of David Sedaris's books. I you know, listen to all the top podcasts. I'm super into true crime. I only have plantar fasciitis in one of my feet. So, I mean, I think that's a win. Like, I'm still pretty active.
Would you say that you would want to go out again with Joe based on this comment, though? Since you think you're exciting and he finds you to be boring, would that be a deal breaker for you?
Honestly, not necessarily. I mean, we've gone to a wine bar, a tapas wine bar, and then a taco bar. And so, I mean, he's really committed to changing it up. And so I think that as long as he maybe takes me to, like, fondue next or something, I think I would be open to more dates. Like, I really think I could bring him up to my level of excitement.
Here at Dietz, we recognize a fundamental truth about dating. People are boring.
Gordon Malbill was the CEO at Dietz, and I had to ask, what would it take, how long do you think it would take, Gordon, for me to get on this app and start dating someone?
Hi, Gordon. I'm so sorry. I just needed to let you know that I just had a 7.5-minute BM, and while I was on the toilet, I was scrolling through Reddit.
Oh, thank you, Kyle. I'll make sure that the...
Wait, what were you reading on Reddit, Kyle?
Oh, I was just... I mostly front page, but then I looked at some r/personal finance. There's some good...
Yeah, I do that.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so crazy.
So great.
Alessandra, if you don't mind my asking, what? How long are your typical bowel movements?
I would say 3 minutes.
Oh, wow. That's pretty quick. Good
yeah.
for you.
No, I get it out, you know?
Wow. Yeah, sometimes I have to push pretty hard to, like, you know, clean up a mess.
Now, you see, this is, we would sometimes say that, is this couple compatible? I don't know. They read the same Reddit, but he's going to take a lot longer in the bathroom than she is.
You know what? I don't mind because it takes me a while after a BM to fully wash up.
Whereas I wash up pretty quickly.
There you go.
Let me get a guess. Your favorite first date is tapas?
Gordon, are you asking me out?
No.
Oh. But
I think, love tapas.
Yeah, I love tapas.
It's little bites.
And, yeah, small bites.
And then your favorite second date is tacos?
Well, yeah, actually. Tacos plus bowling equals bliss.
That sounds so great.
Yeah.
See, most people are boring. They're conventional.
Are you calling me boring, Gordon?
Well, I mean... Bowling, tacos.
Gordon, that sounds pretty great to me.
Exactly, Kyle. Own who you are.
Okay.
I don't want to own being boring.
No, there's nothing wrong with being boring. I mean, life is boring.
I left that office very quickly, and I returned to my new confidant, Jessica. I don't understand. Why do people keep saying that we're boring when we're exciting? We are exciting women. You're wearing rainbow clips in your hair. What's that about?
I couldn't agree with you more. Seriously? They called you boring?
Yes.
I mean, you love tapas. You love tacos.
So do you. That makes you the most exciting woman in my book.
Did you throw in bowling?
I threw in bowling, oh. And you wouldn't believe it, but an intern or an executive, I don't know what he was so handsome. He said that he thought that would have been bliss also.
What?
Tacos and bowling together.
How long were his BMs?
He said 7 minutes.
Ooh, that's risky.
A little bit longer than I would expect.
But that's manageable, as long as bowling is in the mix.
Exactly. That's exciting to me. Like, I could find true love.
Definitely.
In this intern or executive. I couldn't tell what he was. It was odd. He was wearing a polo. So I wasn't sure. You know what I mean?
Not bad, not bad. Better than a hoodie, you know.
Better than a leather vest.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't have to tell Jessica that I said she was boring. I mean...
Oh, I think I did.
I think everyone is boring. That's the thing with this app is that you divulge every little thing about you, and you know every little thing about the
is
other
this
person.
Boring? Is this boring? Do you know what that is? Those are my baby teeth, and I carry them around with me. How's that boring? Huh? How is that boring?
I'm sure there's somebody out there who's really into that.
I bet there is. I bet there is, Joe. Are you going to finish your IPA?
Yeah, I am.
All right, I guess I'm going to pay for it since we're here for my interview. God damn it.
Excuse me, would anyone here like some tapas or some tacos?
I mean, I could get a taco.
I do enjoy tapas.
I'm glad that we're not compatible because I didn't see it. I didn't see it.
I.
In the deets.
I'm sorry.
I had to make a quick phone call to my grandmother. I don't know if she's gonna pick up.
Hello?
Hi, Grandma. Can you tell me that story again about how you and Grandpa met?
Who?
You and Grandpa.
Oh!
Esther, who's on the phone?
Chucky, shut up!
Esther, I just had a BM.
It's Alessandra. Go!
It's 7.5 minutes long.
Good for you, honey. That seems relatively short.
This took much too long, so I hung up on my grandparents. Oh, but my phone started... Oh, hello.
Alessandra!
Oh. Hi, Alessandra! Kyle?
Hi.
Come on in.
I'm so sorry to do something this outrageous, but
no.
I got your information from my boss.
Oh, wow. You could have just called.
I tried once.
Oh, yeah. I was on call. I was probably
I don't know what happened.
Hi.
Hi.
Wow. Your green eyes are sparkling.
Thank you so much. They are green, yes.
Yes.
I sometimes wear green polos to accentuate the green in my eyes.
Oh.
Your eyes are brown.
Yes, they are.
I find that to be nice.
Oh, wow. They are. Thank you for saying that, I mean.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. Listen, there's two tapas restaurants in this city nearby in the neighborhood, and one of them doesn't open till 6. And considering that it's 5:20, I thought maybe you'd want to go to the other one.
Oh, my gosh. That's...
With me.
A novel idea. Kyle, it's so lovely to meet someone who goes out of their way to find out my details and feels like this is the start of something. But of course, whenever there's the start of something, I always think of the end. And that makes me have to call my grandparents because they're close to the end of their life.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's okay. You can do that.
Okay, great.
Listen, I'll just meet you at that other tapas place.
Okay. The other one.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, I'll see you there.
Okay.
But if you get there at 6 o'clock or later, then we could have gone to the other one. Just to let you know.
Okay.
So, you know.
I'll get there
which
soon.
Which is fine. Both are open at 6. It's just one's open right now. I don't mind waiting. I just wanted you to know
I
understood that the other one opens at 6. So if you preferred to go there, I could.
Yeah, we could go to that one, the one that opens at 6.
Okay, I'll wait outside of that one.
Oh my gosh.
Until 6.
Please.
And you arrive at 6.
Yeah, I will be there right on time because I am...
So let me get this straight.
You had just a random connection with somebody.
That's random. We didn't even have to get on the app.
That's what I'm trying to say.
What do you mean, Joe?
You don't need the app. The app, you have to give it so much information that there's nothing to talk about with the other person. So that's why they seem boring. Because you already know everything about them. There's nothing new to learn.
So what you're saying is you want to be excited by the discovery.
Exactly.
Yeah, I never thought about it like that. Well, fortunately, you know, Deets won't be around forever. There'll be other apps. There'll be apps that increase your chances of getting laid by someone you don't even know their name.
Yeah, I've started up a new dating app. It's called Rando.
Rando? Yeah, you don't say, Gordon.
Yeah, basically you just swipe on someone and you're pretty much boning them that night. I don't even name nothing. It's the opposite of Deets.
Okay, so
you know nothing. It is like a roulette. It is like, you know, you spin a wheel. Mm-hmm. Where's it going to land? I don't know.
So the picture is just a silhouette, it looks mm-hmm. like, from these mock-ups it is. That you're doing.
You can't even tell what gender it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Exciting.
I mean, if I wasn't already happily in a relationship...
Give Rando a whirl.
With your intern, Kyle? Intern? Executive.
I really should nail his job title.
You should. Down. What does he do here exactly besides
he
knock on doors?
He spends a lot of time in the bathroom.
It sounds like my Gordon. I mean, my Kyle.
What? Freudian slip.
Yep. Whoops. That happens on occasion.
Spin Rando. Maybe we'll be together tonight.
No, I'm going to be...
Spin.
Okay. Here we go down this rabbit hole. I guess the point is, learn something new about someone and enjoy that fact about them and never call them boring.
I once spent 6 weeks dating a boat. I didn't know you could do that, but I did. Up next in This American Lie, detailed report. That's when we return on This American Lie. When our program continues, please stay with us.
This American Lie is brought to you by putting your fingers in someone's mouth. Don't you want to know? Don't you want to know what's in there? I do. I want to put my fingers in someone's mouth.
This American Lie, I'm Ari Grass. Each week, we pick a theme and then bring you a variety of stories on that theme. This week's theme, unnecessary details. Act 3, a detailed report. On October 3rd, 2015, a murder... Wow. You know, I do this sometimes, but this music just doesn't fit the beginning of this report. Well, I took that opportunity to turn it off, and now I'll start with this one. Here we go. Oh, there it is. On October 3rd, 2015, a murder was reported in a parking lot in Rodsdale, Idaho. Officer Paula Shaw responded to the incident and took a detailed report. Now, her report is in question as the crime goes to trial. Our producer, Teresa Alcott, spoke with Shaw.
So, Officer Shaw, may I call you Paula?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I love my first name.
Thank you, Paula.
No, thank you.
It's a truly Teresa. Beautiful, wow. Truly beautiful first name.
Yeah.
So walk me through your discovery of the parking lot here on October 3rd, 2015. It's my understanding it was a grim sight.
The first thing I saw, tire marks.
Got it.
Tire marks was the first thing I saw. And then as I panned my sight up, I saw blood stains. I saw a few fingers.
Fingers.
Not part of the body.
Removed
from the body.
Removed. Scattered how far from the body exactly?
Well, the body was discovered in a trunk. So
not even near the
scene. Pretty far, yeah. So I believe someone was trying to get out. This is just my interpretation of what could have happened. I believe someone was trying to get out of the trunk. That dead person was trying to get out of that trunk, and then their fingers got chopped off by the trunk closing.
Wow.
That's what I imagine happened. In fact, as soon as we found the Subaru Outback, we did see that there was blood on the outside of the on the bumper.
Wow.
Yeah, the Subaru Outback was actually parked around the target.
Got it.
On the other side of the target.
Okay, so the body was actually in the front, or excuse me, the scene of fingers and blood and whatnot was in the front portion of the
that
target.
That was the front, yep, that was the front part. There was a, did I say tire marks?
Yes, tire marks were
there
present.
Were tire marks.
Tire marks.
Blood.
Blood.
Mm-hmm. Fingers.
Got it, fingers, detached.
Around the other side of the target.
Subaru Outback.
Subaru Outback, blood on the bumper, body in the trunk.
Officer Shaw, her report was not, as we say in the business, up to snuff. It just basically said, tire marks.
Sergeant Paul Maraski.
Blood, fingers, over and over again. And then she went on and gave her theories about what might have happened, which actually is of no use whatsoever and, in fact, tainted the case, which is why... Here we are 3 years after the murder happened, and we're only now going to trial.
So, Sergeant Maraski, may I call you Paul?
Yeah, sure. Please it's do. Such I like my first name.
It's such a beautiful, strong first name. It's really nice. Yeah. Really nice.
I'm fond of it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. I like my first name.
So, personally, for you personally, what was wrong with Paula's report? I mean, it seemed very clear to me. You know, you go in, oh, there are tire marks. Oh, there is blood. Oh, look, there's finger. Oh, around the corner, car, body.
Yeah, there was about 10 words in the whole report. There were actually a description about what happened. Everything else was a long, very detailed conjecture, we call it, about, you know, maybe someone tried to get out of the car. Maybe an animal scratched the trunk of the car and tried to dig them out. Maybe the man from Mars. There are no men from Mars. I mean, what is that? What is that even in there? I mean, she's a God bless her. She's a energetic, enthusiastic police officer. But
so your main problem was just her theories. You possibly just didn't agree with her theories.
Well, I didn't agree with her theories. But again, it's a report. It's supposed to be, we came upon it this time, and she only had about 10 words, as I said, that were actual descriptions about what had happened.
Barack Obama was president at the time of this murder. So, you know, it's possible to say that he is connected somehow, at least through, you know, acknowledging that he could have been a part of it with the murderer and the murderer's tools.
It's important to establish an accurate time frame.
Exactly. Yeah.
Understood.
Did she get into the whole Barack Obama thing with you?
She did indeed.
Yeah. Barack Obama never came to Idaho, to my knowledge, that when he was president. And
that would have been fun. He has a great first name, doesn't he?
Barack, yeah.
Such a nice, strong first name.
He must love his first name.
It just
I bet he
sounds
really
handsome.
Likes it. Barack. It has rock in it. I mean, there you go. What a, you know, it's like there. You know who else has a good first name? The Rock. The good name.
Right.
You know?
Cedric the Entertainer, though, I mean, that's just a mouthful.
He has three names.
Three names. I mean, yeah.
You know, anyway. So, yeah, I mean, it's like, Officer Shaw, we just need just go there and describe the scene. We don't need to hear about the Rothschilds. We don't need to hear about George Soros. We don't need to hear about what have you. I mean,
do you know what I would like to hear about, Paul?
What?
The victim. Well, the victim has yet to be officially identified. You have theories? But
we're saving that for the trial. It's a sensitive matter.
I decided to branch out and speak to other people that were present. I found a Target employee, an evening stock boy named Jimmy, who was on his smoke break when Paula first arrived to the scene. Jimmy, could you tell me in your own words what you saw at the time when you were out on your smoke break, Paula arrived, just a gruesome scene. Just describe it for me in your own words.
Well,
I was late that day, and it was like my third strike, so I was really nervous. So I was going through almost a pack that day on my break, just one after the next, and like there's just a lot of blood, and there's also a lot of Subarus in the parking lot, and there's a lot of carts in the parking lot. And if someone doesn't get the carts and put them back in the corral or bring them into the target, then they could bump into other cars, and then they might dent the car, and people get upset. Yeah.
Jimmy, may I call you Jim?
I love my name, Jim.
Is Jim nice? It's just so Jim. So like uppity and just like Jim. I'm a fun guy.
People call me Jimmy, but I don't know. When I was young, that was okay. But now I'm kind of
now you're a man.
Guy. Yeah.
You work at Target. You smoke cigarettes.
Gosh,
you've seen a murder scene. You're a Jim.
Gosh, I love when you say Jim.
Jim, right? Such a great first name. So, Jim. So you're there. You're smoking. You've had a day.
Yeah.
Your nerves just coming out every single hair on your head, right? Parking lot is packed with carts. It's packed with Subarus. It's also my understanding they were packed with fingers, loose fingers. Did you happen to see the fingers yourself?
Yeah, I picked one up.
Really? Did it look like a man finger, a lady finger, a child finger? Not the dessert lady finger, a female finger.
I guess if I had to choose, it's probably a lady finger. It kind of looked like a
Jimmy! Jimmy, are you smoking again? Jimmy, goddammit!
I'm on my smoke break.
Jimmy? Rose? Rose, get out here.
Oh,
Rose, look what
Jimmy.
Our son is doing. Look what he's
Jimmy.
Doing. Look at you. Look at you. You're 16. You should not be smoking, Jimmy.
We can't have you smoking, Jimmy. You know what happened to your uncle. Emphysema.
Emphysema, Jimmy. Who's this? Is this your new girlfriend here? Is this your girlfriend, Jimmy? Jimmy?
She's just a nice lady, and she calls me Jim.
Hello, I'm Teresa. What may I ask your first names?
This is Rose.
Hello, Rose.
Hello.
Beautiful, beautiful Rose. It's just, I can smell it from here. It's
I'm
fragrant.
Jim. I'm Jim Sr.
Oh, Jim. Hello, Jim. I love the first name, Jim.
Anyway.
It's so fantastic that all of you guys work at Target together. This is so sweet.
There's not a lot of jobs in Idaho. So we kind of just...
Yeah, Jimmy, you got to come unpack the Arm & Hammer
Arm & Hammer detergents are loaded up, and I don't want to see any more cigarettes, young man.
I don't want to see you picking up any more dead people's fingers either.
Yeah, Jimmy, we haven't even talked about that since then.
Messing
with dead fingers.
Stuff.
Real quick, Jim, Rose, if you don't mind, were you present the evening of the crime? Were you on the clock, if you will?
Yeah, we were both inside
that. We were in the employee break lounge. Yeah.
So you didn't witness the tire marks, the blood, the fingers, the
Subaru,
the trunk?
No, we were having a smoke break.
Got it.
Well, I gotta go stock the Arm & Hammer, but yeah, I saw this, like, there was a little baseball cap next to the fingers, and it did have a handprint on it. I don't know if that helps.
A baseball cap? I didn't hear anything about a baseball cap. That wasn't in the report.
Again, Sergeant Paul Maraski. Yeah, that's why I immediately came to you, Paul. I feel like this is a very detailed and important detail to be missing. So here it is. I stuck it in this Target bag. If I could get the bag back, though, they did charge me 5 cents, so I would like to reuse it for my own personal use. But yeah.
Come in.
Hey, Paul, we're getting lunch from Hoagies and Wings. Do you want anything from Hoagies and Wings?
I want a hoagie and I want some wings.
Okay,
Paula.
Perfect. What?
There is a baseball cap near the murder site. You didn't mention that.
Oh, was that something I should have put in the report?
Yes, Paula.
Okay. Well, it didn't go along with my theory, so I didn't want to...
We don't have many murders in this town. Like, we normally, we're like writing traffic tickets for tourists. That's usually what it is. I shouldn't have said that out loud.
It became really important to me to expand on this report. So the next person I talked to was the coroner. I figured, what better to tell a detailed story than the person that performs the autopsy?
What can I do for you?
Yes. Dr. Hank Prank. I'm just curious about the
Hank
target.
Hank rhymes with praying.
Yes, indeed. I mean, it's really, I'm usually a first name kind of gal. Hank is very great and direct, has a lot of character. But I just can't help myself. I really want to just call you Hank Prank. I feel very compelled to say them both at the same time. Is that okay with you?
That is absolutely okay.
Okay, Dr. Hank Prank. Again, back to the target murder. So we have tire tracks, blood, loose fingers, Subaru around the corner, body in the trunk, added a bloody hat with a handprint. What can you tell me about the body that was found? It's still my understanding that the body's technically unidentified.
Well, with the amount of fingers missing and three ribs cracked on the left radial cortex, I must say that this was not the work of a single person. In fact, two people were involved.
You can say for sure two people?
I can confirm that.
So obviously it's Barack Obama and Michelle Obama are the murderers in this case, and I will go to trial and I will say that.
You can't, it's not evidence, Paula. You can't give that as evidence.
It's evidence if I say it in a court of law.
You know, Sergeant Maraski, I've never asked your theory. I have Dr. Hank Prank's theory. I have plenty of theories from Paula. I have a theory from Jim over at Target. What about you? Help me fill this out.
Natural causes.
And there you have it. A myriad of possibilities of what could have happened in this Target parking lot. Sometimes life takes you down a road and into a Target, and around the corner, and into a trunk.
I once murdered a boat, but I told you about that already. Up next on This American Line, the most unnecessary detail. That's when we turn on This American Line. When our program continues, please stay with us.
This American Line is brought to you by parasols. Aren't they just fancy umbrellas? Like, who are they kidding? It's just an umbrella. It's made of, looks like a doily with a stick. It's not going to help you if it rains. It's so stupid. Just use an umbrella. Gosh. They're cute, though.
This is American Lion Mark. Guys, each week you pick a theme. Bring your stories on a theme. This week's theme, unnecessary details. Our fourth and final act, the most unnecessary detail. The most unnecessary detail was a 1973 drama about a longshoreman being put in an extended timeout. The film launched the careers of then-unknowns John Tungsten and Willie Woods. And new behind-the-scenes footage of the film gives fans of these two movie stars a unique look into how they honed their craft in this first film. Boris Bonner presents that footage. Here's Boris.
The most unnecessary detail. It's a cult classic, really. One of my favorites. And I gotta say, I really think more people should appreciate this film. I'm just gonna dive right in. This first clip here, you'll see what, in my opinion, is the breakthrough performance of John Tungsten. He gives it is full on, God, like, he should have been nominated for an Oscar. It was stupid that he wasn't nominated for an Oscar. Like, what were they thinking? They didn't nominate him for an Oscar?
Okay, guys, so I'm just gonna stay in the timeout really long time.
Yeah, you think about what you did.
Stay in that timeout.
You think about what you did, Longshoreman.
Look how scared he looks.
No TV either.
Oh, no. I want to watch All in the Family.
Sit on your hands.
You should have thought about that before you did that.
Your mouth shut. Sit on your hands.
Okay, I'll sit on my hands.
Sorry, can we cut? Can we cut for a second?
What?
Sorry, I just, you know, I feel like I didn't do the job of, you know, do what I was supposed to do.
Oh,
I feel
Jesus like I didn't... Christ, Willie. Willie. Come
what?
On.
What? I spent years honing this, okay? I went to school.
Oh, we know. You went to Juilliard, Willie.
I can't keep up this voice all day, Willie.
All right, but I just want to, you know, I love this script and I want to do it justice, you know?
Oh, God. You know, they don't call me John Two Pump and Chump Tungsten for nothing. I make a choice and I go with it. It's called acting. You might want to learn about it sometime, Willie.
Two Pump and Chump?
Yes.
Because
I'm boom, boom, boom.
And then you come.
Wow.
Two pumps.
Wow.
I know what it is. I know a thing or two.
Wow.
You know, I used to live in New York.
Like, I mean, to capture just the feeling of a longshoreman who just needs to get back out there. He wants to get back out there, but he can't. So of course he's just gonna fall into this pit of despair, and his voice is gonna—it's gonna get all high pitched, and he's like, that is acting at its finest. God, what was the Academy thinking? God. And just to have the perfect sparring partner with Willie Woods. They're just bouncing back and forth off of each other. I mean, fuck! All right, I mean, this next scene, all right, this is the all is lost moment here, okay? Like, John thinks he's not gonna get back out there, and then he's told he's gonna get back out there, but then the rug is just pulled out beneath him, and I mean, if this doesn't break your heart, you don't have a soul. You don't have a soul.
Did you have the chicken piccata for lunch?
No, I didn't.
It was good. Piccata. It was good catering.
I had something called a burrito. Have you ever had that?
No, I don't know what that is.
It's
that means little a little
little burro, little donkey.
Little donkey,
yeah,
though.
Spanish.
In Spanish.
I was in Woodstock. I had a burrito.
That's great extra.
All right, are we ready to roll?
Why are the extras talking to us? I mean,
hey, you already got a big head. This is, come on, man.
You're speeding.
We gotta, you know.
Camera rolling.
You were an extra a year ago.
Yeah.
Think about that, huh?
You know how many people.
Come over here.
What?
Come over here.
Jesus
what?
Christ.
What's
Willie?
Your name?
Jesus Christ.
What's your name?
Willie, I can't keep this voice up. Off.
Well, you don't have to do it right now. What's
Marco.
Your name?
Marco. Pochia. Marco Pochia.
Pochia, Italian boy.
Si.
Cool, cool. Well, it's nice to meet you. Are you trying to be an actor?
I am an actor.
I know, I'm sorry, but are you trying to break in, you know, be a, you know, be
yeah,
a leading
breaking,
man?
I'm breaking
Willie,
in right now.
I've already used one of my pumps, all right?
Oh, God. Oh, he's close. All right, let's do this thing.
I have an
we're
orgy
ready,
at
we're
the
ready.
Playboy Mansion to go to tonight, okay? Jimmy Conn and I.
Why don't you bring Marco?
Quiet
I'll
Marco,
go.
You haven't
I
been to the Playboy
go.
Mansion?
I am not
you
bringing Marco to the Playboy Mansion.
Bring me.
He's coming.
And action.
All right, Ricky, sorry.
I don't think I'm going to get out of here.
Yeah, you better. You're damn right you're not.
I hope nobody pulls your rug out from under me.
Listen, man. Get yourself together, okay? Because this isn't what you think it is. Hey!
Ow!
Stop it!
Ow!
Ooh, that's good
Ow.
Acting.
All right, well.
Wait, what was that? What was that?
How do you not yell and cut right now?
Well, that's a cut.
God.
That.
I mean, that was the moment, okay? And talk. Like. I know I've been talking a lot about John, but Willie elevated his acting in that moment. I mean, when he punches John, like that, he earned himself a supporting actor nom, or at least he should have. But the Academy doesn't know what the fuck they're doing. Stupid.
Sweetie, are you all right?
Just go away, Mom.
Okay, but you're swearing a lot. And
I stubbed my toe.
Your Aunt Esther's over.
I stubbed my toe.
She's freaking out down there because she doesn't hear that language very much.
Boris, come out. Let me see your big shoulders.
Is dinner ready yet? Just call me when dinner's ready.
All right, it's ready in 5, so just come down.
I want to see his big shoulders.
All right, Esther, just calm down, all right?
Okay. All right, this is the climax of the movie. All right? This is where everything that's been built up happens.
Hey, God! God!
Hey. yeah. Sorry, I thought you were saying God. I thought you were, like, having a talking to God moment.
God!
Yeah, I gotcha.
I think I'm in love with you.
God damn it. God damn it, kid. I told you not to fall in love. What did I say to you? What did I say to you the moment I put you on this step? Huh?
Sit
at the bottom
down,
of the staircase.
Sit at the bottom of the staircase and don't fall in love with me.
Yes. And what did you go and do?
I sat at the bottom of the staircase and I fell in love with you.
What the fuck am I supposed to do now? Huh? With this information, I got a wife and kids back home.
How about a kiss?
How about a kiss?
And the Oscar goes to John Tungsten and Willie Woods. And, no it didn't. Because people are friggin' stupid and nobody knows what art is. Is dinner ready yet, Ma?
Yes, I said 5 minutes. That was 12 minutes ago.
Boris, come down. I want to see you in my geo.
Esther, for the love of God, what is wrong with you?
I just want to take pictures.
He's 25 years
I just want to take
you.
Pictures of him.
Disgusting.
Hey.
You're related by marriage, okay? This is not okay.
You know what? You know what's not okay? You. What? Hogging your son. You're hogging your son.
Hogging my son?
You're hogging
please,
him.
Please, take him. He's an adult and he's still living in my house.
I'll be down in 5 minutes.
5 minutes? You said that 10 minutes ago when the dinner's getting cold!
Ma, give me a break here.
Look, no one understands what art is, okay? Like, people just don't get it. They don't appreciate classic cinema, and I just hope all you listeners at home could take away that the most unnecessary detail is a masterpiece. Full stop, okay? Just go out, find it. I think it's on Netflix. It's part of the Criterion Collection, definitely. It just, you have to watch this movie.
I'm not allowed to watch movies. I don't remember who told me I couldn't, but I've stuck to it. All right, that'll about do it for This American Lie. This American Lie is brought to you by, presented by Rodney Tunney Boots. Alessandra Polymer Pompey, Teresa Alcott, Boris Bonner, Mike Hughes, Rudy Holmes, Janelle Finish, Dan Heber, Micah Gordon, and of course, Big Boss Mammoth, Toy Maltia, who just binged a new Netflix show.
You can take that fucking out and shove it up your ass because the movie is the best thing I've ever seen in my life.
Stay tuned next month for another episode of This American Lie. Hey guys, this is Micah from This American Lie. Thanks so much for listening, and we just wanted to let you know about who you heard today. You heard Mike Hughes, Ruthie Holmes, Janelle Benesch, Dan Heber, and of course myself. And we'd love for you to rate and subscribe us on subscribe to us on iTunes, and to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at This Amer Lie. That's This Amer Lie. No, it can. This Amer Lie. Thanks.
See you next month!